Welcome to the program today. All this week we are doing an overview and an introduction to Matthew chapter 24, which relates to the end times events. And in our study yesterday, what I was trying to set out in 9 different phases is the Old Testament Jewish hope for the kingdom of God and how they viewed the end times events. And we tried to put this in 9 different phases, and we were only able to look at the first 4 yesterday. And those were, number 1, the coming of the Messiah would be preceded by a time of great tribulation. Number 2, an Elijah-like forerunner would herald the way for the Messiah. Number 3, the appearance of the Messiah, that he would show up literally to the earth. Then number 4, an alliance of the nations to fight against the Messiah. We pick it up at point number 5, which speaks about the destruction of these opposing nations. And what we're doing is we're looking at an Old Testament scripture that supports each of these 9 points, then also looking at sources outside of the Old Testament, Jewish sources which the Jews would have used to support their understanding of the last days. So at number 5, we'll look at the destruction of these opposing nations. And this is actually seen in Ezekiel chapter 38 in verses 21 through 23, which reads this way. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother. And I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him and his troops and on the many peoples who are with him. Flooding rain, great hailstone, fire and brimstone. Thus I'll magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I'll be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So there's one passage which speaks about the judgment that the Messiah would specifically bring upon these opposing forces. At this point, I'd like to look at 3 sources outside of the Old Testament which predict this very thing as well. It comes from, first of all, Philo, who was a Hellenistic or Greek Jewish philosopher of the first century who resided in Alexandria, Egypt. And he wrote in his works, in reference to the Messiah, that he would do the following, that he would take the field and make war and destroy great and populous nations. The second source outside of the Old Testament is from 2 Esdras, chapter 12, verses 32 and 33, which read this way, that the Messiah shall reprove them for their ungodliness, rebuke them for their unrighteousness, reproach them to their faces with their treacheries, and when he has rebuked them, he shall destroy them. The third one is from the Book of Enoch, which was written approximately the 4th century B.C. Now, it claims to be a series of revelations which Enoch, the Enoch of the Bible, from Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, received. He supposedly received these revelations and then gave them to his son Methuselah to help those who would live in the last days. The first part of the book show how the heavens reveal God's plans, and the last part speak of the judgment upon evil and sin. The text reads as follows. It shall come to pass in those days that none shall be saved, either by gold or by silver, and none shall be able to escape. And there shall be no iron for war, nor shall each one clothe himself with a breastplate. Bronze shall be of no service, and tin shall not be esteemed, and lead shall not be desired. All these things shall be destroyed from the surface of the earth. None of the weapons the nations are able to muster will be of any defense against the Messiah. Now, it's interesting about this book of Enoch. Jude evidently knew of this text where he writes in verse 14 of his epistle, Now Enoch, the 7th from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints, and verse 15 reads, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. The 6th phase would be the restoration of Jerusalem. Either this would be a renovation or actually a new one coming down out of heaven. The Old Testament scripture is Zechariah chapter 14, verse 8, and then also verses 16 through 21 speak of this restoration. Verse 8 reads this way, And in that day it shall be that the living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea, half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. And so it speaks of here the land of Israel after this time of destruction being restored to a place of beauty. Now the Jewish sources outside the Old Testament present that the main point is that the king or the Messiah would be established in his holy city, Jerusalem. For example, the book of Enoch once again states that, and I quote, Jerusalem would have all the pillars new and the ornaments larger than those of the first. And so there's several texts which would speak as Jerusalem being renovated and restored for the king to rule and to reign. Phase number 7, the Jews scattered out in the world would be regathered. One of the main passages in the Old Testament is Isaiah chapter 27, verses 12 and 13, which read, And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river from the brook of Egypt, and you will be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. So it shall be in that day that the great trumpet will be blown. They will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and they shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. You could also look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12, as well as Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 3 through 4. Moses himself long ago spoke of the nation being scattered because of disobedience into all the different lands, but then God himself would regather and reclaim his people. I'd like to read from two Jewish sources outside of the Old Testament. For example, there's an ancient Jewish prayer which read this way, that they would lift up a banner to gather our dispersed and assemble us from the four ends of the earth. Also, the Psalms of Solomon, which is a collection of 18 psalms from the first century B.C. And in these psalms, there's a strong rebuke for foreigners and Jews who are not faithful to the Lord. Also, these texts tried to struggle with why Israel is under the influence of foreign nations. And it concludes that it's due to their own sin. And it's not that God had abandoned his people. He was merely chastising them. And when the Messiah comes, he will restore Israel to her proper place. The Psalm of Solomon 11 describes this regathering in the following words. It says, "Blow ye in Zion on the trumpet to summon the saints. Cause ye to be heard in Jerusalem the voice of him that bringeth good tidings. For God had pity on Israel in visiting them. Stand on the height, O Jerusalem, behold thy children, from the east and the west, gathered together by the Lord. From the north they come in the gladness of their God. From the isles afar off God has gathered them. High mountains he has abased into a plain for them. The hills fled at their entrance. The woods gave them shelter as they passed by. Every sweet-smelling tree God caused to spring up for them, that Israel might pass by in the visitation of the glory of their God. Put on, O Jerusalem, thy glorious garments. Make ready thy holy robe. For God has spoken good for Israel forever and ever. Let the Lord do what he has spoken concerning Israel and Jerusalem. The Lord raise up Israel by his glorious name. The mercy of the Lord be upon Israel forever and ever." The eighth phase is that Jerusalem would become the center of the world with all the nations subject to the Lord. And Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 through 21 is a good text on this passage, which reads this way. "And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." In the context, it's referring to those wars that take place, culminating in the second coming where the Lord judges these nations. Then it says those that are left, they're going to come up year to year, and they're going to go up to worship the King there in Jerusalem. Verse 17 goes on to say, "And it shall come to pass that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain." Verse 20 says, "In that day holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. The pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. Everyone who sacrifices shall come and take them and cook in them. In that day there shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts." So the end of Zechariah predicts that all those nations and all those individuals left after that last war will come up to Jerusalem year by year and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One source outside of the Old Testament, again, is from the Sibylline Oracles, which reads this way. "And all the isles and the cities shall say, how does the Eternal love those men? For all things work in sympathy with them and help them. Come, let us fall upon the earth and supplicate the Eternal King, the mighty everlasting God. Let us make procession to his temple, for he is the sole potentate." So here it speaks of others being able to see of the obvious love that the Lord has for his people, the nation of Israel, and also calls for them to go to that temple and to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The ninth and final stage would be that all these events would usher in a new age of peace, righteousness, and divine glory. And this is clearly seen in Isaiah chapter 11, which is definitely a time relating to the end times, verses 4 through 9. It reads this way, "But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. The weaned child shall put forth his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is definitely a passage which relates to that thousand-year millennial reign. So the culmination of all these events is that the Lord would establish his kingdom on the earth in which peace, righteousness, and his divine glory would be present. In looking at these 9 points or 9 phases which the end times events will take place, I think it helps us understand the comments or the questions that the disciples had in response to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and disciples came to him to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down.' Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" Now, when the disciples heard about the destruction of the temple, they immediately associated it with the end of the age or the last days. And that's why they asked this question. That's because they had this scenario in mind of these nations coming against the land of Israel to fight against them, and then also destruction coming upon the land, but then the Lord fighting on their behalf and then renovating the land. That's why the disciples asked this question in verse 3 in response to the statement that Jesus made about the temple being destroyed. To try and help summarize the study of the last 2 days, is these 9 points that we went over are very close to the premillennial position of understanding the last days. I hope that this helps you summarize the teaching of the Old Testament in relation to the last days events. If we could help you in any way, we do now have a new toll-free number that you could reach us at, which is 1-877-941-LAMB. If you'd like a copy on tape of this study or any other studies that we've done or information about the correspondence courses that we offer through our Bible school, you could contact us at that number. Or if you'd like to get the notes from the studies that I do day by day, you could visit us at our website, which is at www.calvarylm.org.